He is the senior pastor of Daystar Christian Center, Nigeria, a fast-growing, life-changing church committed to raising role models. A dynamic pastor, teacher, and motivational speaker, he is the host of the popular program Success Power, which airs on radio and television stations within and outside Nigeria. He is also a successful author with several best-selling books to his name, including Lead and Let Ideas Rule the World. He's happily married to the lovely Mike Adeyemi, and they are blessed with three children. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a standing ovation as we welcome, for the second time in Winnipeg, Pastor Sam Adeyemi.
Praise the Lord. Please let's have a seat. Happy Father's Day to the fathers in the house, fathers and fathers to be. The father's role is a very special one. It's a calling. And Satan understands how strategic it is. So he tries to distract us men, confronts us with all sorts of things. But for us that are in Christ, he has failed already. We will fulfill our destinies in Jesus' name. Thank you for all those beautiful presentations. Oh, the ladies have been wonderful. Amazing, I should say. Wow. Wow. Awesome. And thank you for my lovely gift. My Father's Day gift. Thank you. I once again appreciate all the pastors that have from other churches and other ministries. It's just amazing. You know what makes it, in fact, most amazing for me? It's a Sunday morning. And we have so many pastors in the house. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am trusting God. Every blessing that he's released on this conference will bear fruit in all our churches. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me appreciate your protocol team. Yeah. Oh, they're amazing. Really amazing. Taking good care of me. You know, you've taken good care of Pastor Nike and myself. They sprung some surprises and we're wondering, where did you get that from? You know, like, they brought me corn. You know, cooked corn. Who told you I like to eat corn? They said we did our research. Oh, I appreciate that. So I won't forget that easily. That's extra. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the... Oh, yes. Your worship team. Oh. I appreciate the warmth in this church. I appreciate the enthusiasm, the commitment to God, the zeal. And of course, because I value excellence, I love it everywhere I go. And excellence isn't having all the money in the world and spending a lot of money. Some people have a lot of money, but they don't have quality. So excellence is making the best use, getting the best quality out of whatever resources you have. I look at your stage, I see that spirit of excellence. Well done. God deserves the best. When you read your Bible, the most beautiful place in existence is heaven. The God that we serve is a God of excellence. So when the church does not display excellence, it misrepresents God. God, we do excellence because God deserves the best. And then we do excellence because every human being is an extension of God. And whatever God deserves, then people also deserve. So we give the best. So thank you for making God proud. Amen. And yes, I'm really, really inspired, encouraged to have Daddy and Mommy Bauer here. God bless you. You are blessed. Just meeting you is a blessing. And thank you so much for your encouragement. Amen. All right. And do I love this couple? You have the best pastors in the world. I don't know if you recognize that. Really, really appreciate you, but Jesus said a prophet has honor except in his own house. So sometimes we're just so used to seeing our pastors, we don't realize how much of a blessing they are. But I see here exceptional leadership. For a church to be as young as this and to be making as much progress as this, to secure this level of commitment from people, it's leadership. We don't take that for granted. Thank you for providing that leadership. God bless you. Really proud of you. All right. I won't take long. It's Father's Day. Oh my God. And there is food. From the moment you mentioned it, I knew my sermon could not be long. So some people will not hear me after some minutes, apart from the fact that I want to eat the chicken myself. And, oh yeah, it's something beyond the chicken, right? Yes. Okay, good. So, you know, there's rice and stew, very plenty here today. So let me start from Genesis chapter 27. I'll read verses 26 to 29. Genesis 27, verses 26 to 29. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." So I just share briefly on the Father's blessing. The Father's blessing. This was Isaac pronouncing a blessing. Okay? There's power in the Father's blessing, and it seems like the people in the Bible recognized it better than we do. Because in that story, Isaac pronounced the blessing. Jacob got the blessing. Isaac thought that he was pronouncing the blessing on Esau. But it was Jacob that got the blessing. And after he had pronounced the blessing, Esau arrived. The discussion was interesting. Let me read from verse 33 of Genesis 27. Verse 33. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? He has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he's taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" See, it's when you are schooled in spiritual things, when you have value for God, when you realize that the invisible world is more powerful than the visible world, the invisible world created and continues to dominate the visible world, that's when you realize how powerful this was. Because you wonder, what was it? Was it not just the pronouncement of words? It was more than that. To be blessed is to be empowered. The blessing is invisible power that rests on a person's life and gives one the capacity to dominate circumstances and to be productive, to be prosperous. Okay? So, you would see that Esau valued the blessing more than he valued his birthright. He said, "This guy took my birthright, now he's taking my blessing." When it was time for birthright, Esau easily gave that over. When it was time for the blessing, he didn't want to let that go. The only thing, though, was that the blessing was meant to go with the birthright. It was meant for the firstborn. When he trivialized his birthright, he didn't realize he had disqualified himself also from getting the blessing. But a grown man is weeping. A grown man is crying bitterly just simply because his father did not pronounce some words on him. There is power in the blessing. There is power in the blessing. A blessing gives you capacity for dominion. The first set of people to be blessed in the Bible were Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Well, let's start from verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Verse 27 says, God created them, male and female, he created them. And verse 28 says, "And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Compel it by force to submit to you. Bring it under by force. Subdue it. Rule over it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every moving thing that moves on the earth." So a blessing gives you capacity for dominion. To be blessed is to be empowered to prosper. The first thing God did to man was to bless him, to empower him to prosper, and then told him to have dominion. When I read Psalm 1 from verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man." I love that psalm because it gives us the secrets of the blessed man. Blessed is the man. I'll come back to the details later. But when you read it in the Amplified version of the Bible, it says, "Blessed," bracket open, "happy, fortunate, prosperous, enviable," bracket closed, "is the man." So when you are blessed, you are happy. Things happen in your favor. When you are blessed, you are fortunate. You'll never find the word lucky in the Bible. Because when it is God, it is not a matter of chances. Luck is a matter of chance. It's a matter of probability. When it's God, it's 100 times out of 100 guaranteed. So in God's economy, you are not lucky, you are fortunate. I come from an interesting culture. You know, an interesting culture where when I grew up, my dad in those days, because before he gave his life to Christ, if he was leaving the house and he hit his left leg on something, he would say, "Oh dear, that's a bad sign. That things are not going to work out." If he hit his right leg, it meant things were going to work out right. If he was leaving the house and he met a man, he would say, "Things are likely to work right." If he met a woman, he would say, "I'm not sure things are going to work right." That has no scientific... It's not scientifically verified. It makes no sense. It's not logical. And it's not true. It's unverifiable myth. So when I became a Christian and understood the blessing and realized for me it's 100 times out of 100 guaranteed, that was what delivered me from that mindset. Listen, whether I hit my left leg or hit the right one, things are going to work out right for me. This is not luck. This is being fortunate. Amen. When you are blessed, you are fortunate. It's locked down in your favor. Amen. So somebody here, you are delivered from probabilities. From here on, you just find out every time things are going to work out in your favor. So happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. Who envies a failure? If you are going to be enviable, it means you're going to be successful. Good? That's what God did to Adam and Eve. A blessing is conferred through a pronouncement. A blessing is conferred through a pronouncement. So when we bless, or when we carry the blessing, or when we have the responsibility to bless, especially as fathers, we've got to learn to speak out. We've got to learn to speak over our wives. Speak over our children. You know? Speak over whoever it is that God has asked us to lead or to bless or to empower. Absolutely important. Words are critical. Sometimes men react, for example, to what their wives do, and they begin to make negative pronouncements. "I regret that I married you. You know, from the time I married you, have you observed? Things have not been working right for me." They begin to speak, and they don't realize how powerful those words were. When God was to fulfill his promise to Abraham and Sarah, he made them to change what they called each other. That's how important it is. Call him father of many nations. Call him daddy before it manifests. Call her Sarah. Call her princess. Sweet 16. They had the vision already. God gave them the promise, but they had to say it out. And their bodies changed. Sarah was well past menopause. Her body reversed back into the body of a young woman that carried a baby. And it was after that they went down to Philistine, and Abraham begged her out of fear to say that she was his sister. And she was supposed to be an old woman. She had become so beautiful, a king was about to take her away from her husband. Except that God showed up to him and told him, "You're a dead man." That guy is lying. She's not his sister, she's his wife. Change what you call each other. There's power in words. You read James chapter 3, James the apostle describes it. Out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. He says, "Brethren, that not hot to be. You don't bring cold water and hot water out from the same place." So we've got to learn to speak positive words. So some men get to the point where they tell their wives, "You know what? You're a witch. You're a witch. You're not a blessing to my life. You're a witch. Things have gone bad for me all since I married you," and so on. I say to the men, "Amazing. Obviously, she wasn't a witch before you married her. Mm-hmm. If she was a witch, you would not have married her. It was after you married her that she became a witch. You must have a gift for turning ladies into witches. We've got to learn to speak words over our children, express love to them, and bless them practically. So a blessing is pronounced through a pronouncement. Also, a blessing is transferable. That's really beautiful. The blessing is transferable. God blessed Abraham. Abraham blessed Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob. Jacob blessed his children and blessed Joseph. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 7 says, now beyond all contradiction, the less is blessed by the better. It's interesting. Everyone that is smart should learn to identify people that carry the blessing and to receive it from them. It makes life easy, makes life cheap. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. How do you get the blessing? Get it from somebody who has it already. It gives you capacity to produce the same results as the person. Elisha went after Elijah, pursued him. And when Elijah was about to leave, it's amazing. They had the school of the prophets, and there were young prophets there. So everybody picked it in the realm of the spirit that Elijah was to leave that day. Well, only one person was smart enough to know that Elijah was not supposed to take the grace, the blessing on his life to heaven. Elisha went after him. And eventually Elijah asked him, so what exactly do you want? He said, I want a double portion of the spirit on you. That was a smart man. Every generation should be an improvement on the previous one. Why should I end up exactly where you ended up? Why should I achieve the same thing? I want to start from where you stop. I want a double portion of your spirit. That tells you something. At the point of transference, the blessing can reduce in intensity. It can go at the same level of intensity. It can increase in intensity. What determines what is received is the hunger of the recipient. Some people understand the value of the blessing and they really want it. This Elisha of a guy said he wanted a double portion of it. The blessing is transferable. Hebrews 11 verses 20 to 21. Hebrews 11, 20 and 21. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So the blessing shapes the future. The blessing shapes the future. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. I should say this. God's, the opposite of a blessing is a curse. A curse, therefore, is spiritual empowerment to fail. That's serious business. So it's one thing for one to, you know, fail naturally. But to now be empowered spiritually, to have the introduction of spiritual forces to aid failure, that's a big problem. Because what it does is to create cycles of failure. And someone may try the best that they may try and just find out it's predictable, things are not going to work out right. The beautiful thing here is that God's blessing is superior to every curse. When God's blessing is introduced, because, see, the spiritual level of authority of the person that pronounces the blessing determines its effectiveness. So when it is God that pronounced the blessing, because he has no one superior to him, whatever he says overrides whatever anybody else has said. In this place today, if anyone in a position of authority ever made a negative pronouncement over anyone here, I am here by the Spirit of God and by the blood that Christ shed on the cross to declare that all such words are dissolved. The curse is broken. Yeah. limitations are destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ. From here on, you become the foundation for a new lineage. Foundation for a new generation. Whatever Satan did until now stops here. There's a new beginning in the name of Jesus Christ. The blessing is superior to the curse. Numbers 23 verse 20. The king Balak hired the prophet Balaam to pronounce a curse on Israel. Balaam said, "Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it." I'm declaring here over someone, your blessing is irreversible. From here, you go forward, you are not coming back anymore. You go up, you are not coming down. Because some people have seen that happen in their families. Somebody gets promoted and ends up coming down. Ex-millionaire, ex-prosperous person. Those days are over. For us, there's absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Because that thing creates fear for some people. The fear of success. You don't want to be too successful. And when God blesses you, you have to struggle to hide the blessings. You don't want, where I come from, some people, God helps them to build a house. They can't even paint it on the outside. Because they don't want somebody to be angry. As if you could hide a whole building. God prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil. Your cup runs over. God's blessing comes with self-protection. There's nothing the devil can do about it. He can go commit suicide if it's possible. He'll not be able to touch you. If you believe that, say a good amen. If you thought that you saw some breakthrough before, you didn't see anything. I came to announce today, God is multiplying your testimony 100 times over. He's multiplying your testimony 1,000 times over. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So there in Numbers 23 and verse 23, Balak that was hired to curse went ahead and spoke under inspiration. He said, "For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done." You've been positioned beyond witchcraft. Positioned beyond sorcery. I say with confidence and with boldness because one of the major problems we have in Africa is the fear of witchcraft. Because the whole culture is built on unverifiable myths. We believe that human beings turn into cats. And these days, with technology, we now make it happen, actually. You can turn a human being into a cat by doing editing. You know, on video. It's so pervasive. We believe that human beings turn into birds and fly in the night. It's so pervasive. And I ask people, how many people here have ever seen a human being that turned into a cat? There's none. They were born into it. They were raised on it. They believed it. But it's a big lie. I say, as a Christian, why don't you try to situate witchcraft with scriptures? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in heavenly places." The witches are not even mentioned there. That's how low they are. The ranking, you have the ranking of the forces in Satan's kingdom, and witches are not even mentioned there. And I'm supposed to be afraid of a witch? Now, their overall boss, the devil, is a non-entity relative to a born-again Christian. I should now be afraid of a witch. So I say publicly, to hell with all the witches in my city. All the witches in Winnipeg and all the witches in Canada, to hell with all of them. Even in our sleep, they can't handle us.
So why should we be afraid of witches? I ask people, what makes a witch a witch? Because in Africa, again, you know, what they do is to scare people. You know? Okay, so you are initiated into witchcraft by maybe you drinking blood. So they cut the head of chicken, drain the blood, you drink the blood and make some pronouncements. That's not new. It's just a perversion of spiritual reality. The blood covenant is in the Bible. When God killed those animals and put, you know, had the skin around Adam and Eve, he was teaching them the blood covenant. Because it's blood that covers sin. Then, now it doesn't cover anymore, it just washes away completely. God was teaching man the blood covenant for us to be able to relate. The blood has to cover your sins. So it wasn't just fashion designing that God was doing there in the Garden of Eden. It was the blood covenant he was teaching them. This thing started with us. It's just a perversion. I said, okay, so you drank the blood of chicken. Some people say, oh, if I could sacrifice the human being and drank his blood, I say, fine. So if it is drinking blood that makes the person a witch, then I'm a witch. Yeah, I know I just surprised some people. You're wondering. Yeah, because every time I take the communion in church, I take the blood of Jesus Christ. If it is drinking blood that makes you a witch, I'm a witch. Not only do I drink his blood, I eat his flesh. The bread there is his flesh. I eat flesh. Good. So if it is drinking blood that makes a person a witch, the quality of blood you drink should determine the level of your witchcraft. So you drank the blood of chicken. You are terrorizing people around town. Get out of town. We drank the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of the sinless Son of God. We're the real deal. I will never be afraid of a witch again the rest of my life. The blessing is stronger than the curse. He said, how can I curse him whom God has blessed? Behold, he has blessed. I cannot reverse it. There is no divination against Israel. There is no enchantment. You can't. There is no point trying to curse him. He cannot be cursed. I declare that over someone here today. Every spirit of fear goes in the name of Jesus Christ. And if any tormenting spirit ever hanged around you before today, I declare they are finished today. From here on, you will trample over them, walk in total victory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The blessing is superior to the curse. Christ received the blessing of the Father when he was baptized at the Jordan. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you know, from there on, there was new empowerment and the miracles began to happen. Okay? There's power in the blessing. Capacity to function. And the beautiful thing for us is, as a Christian, as a father, we actually have the responsibility to transmit the blessing. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Sometimes we miss it because we're selfish. James chapter 4 verse 3, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your own lusts. God didn't design for us to damn the blessing. He designed for us to be distributors of the blessing. When you position yourself that way to be a blesser, it's amazing what poverty can do. It creates scarcity mentality. We think that if we share, if we distribute it, we will have less. It doesn't work in God's economy like that. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Proverbs 11:25. He that waters others will be watered also himself. Freely you have received, freely give. So what I'm saying is you need to accept the responsibility to be a transmitter, a distributor of God's blessing. Learn to speak a blessing on people. Amen. Learn to pronounce the blessing on people. I should like to say that as a Christian, you are blessed already. Yeah, it's different from the way it was in the Old Testament. It's not that you are going to be blessed. You are blessed already. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," not will bless us, has blessed us, it's in past tense, "has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So when we pray over you, we are only activating what is already there. You must believe that you are blessed. Amen. You must believe that you are prosperous already. There is no provision in the New Testament for a Christian to be poor. You are not a poor person struggling to become rich. It's not New Testament. It's deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." There was a work of substitution on the cross. Jesus took your place as a sinner, so you could take his place in righteousness. Am I right? And it was done. It was finished. He took your place. Now you take his place. So as a Christian, when you now say, "I'm poor," I wonder, so where did you get the poverty from? Because Jesus took it. When he paid for your sins, he paid for the consequences of sin. Sicknesses and diseases and poverty. So, the only thing left for you is to be prosperous. That's the only thing left. So, you are not a poor person struggling to become rich. You are rich already. What is left is for you to take practical steps to manifest your wealth. It's very critical. You need faith to activate the blessing. You must assume the position that God has created for you already. I tell people that I can never be poor again the rest of my life. I have to call myself what God calls me. Stop looking for the blessing. That's why you will find it very difficult to find it, when you're looking for what you have already. You're chasing what should chase you. Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, "If you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and obey his commandments which I command you today," he said, "the Lord will set you on high above all the nations of the earth." Verse 2, he said, "and these blessings will run after you and overtake you in the land of the living." We were not designed to chase blessings. We have the blessing, so the manifestations of the blessings chase us. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." I'm not supposed to be looking for them. Amen. You are a magnet. You should attract them. But it only works when you believe. You've got to believe that you are blessed. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree.'" Verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, but we might receive the promise through what? Faith. You've got to believe it. You are blessed. Call yourself what God calls you. "I am blessed. I am irreversibly blessed." Amen. As a born-again Christian, as a child of God, you are blessed already. So, how do you get the blessing then to manifest, to produce results? First, you need to develop the capacity to manage big things. You need to develop the capacity. You are blessed already. Galatians chapter 4, it's amazing. When you move on from that Galatians chapter 3, you roll down. You get to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. It says that the child, as long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, though he is master of all. Wow. If you're a very wealthy man, you're a billionaire, and your 10-year-old son asks you for a car, what would you say? No, right? Actually, the answer is not yet. Because by being your son, he actually owns the car already. Yeah. The car is there, is waiting. It's in the program. A lot of the time when we pray and ask God for things or ask him for promotion, and we don't get what we're asking for, it's not because God has not answered the prayer. It's because we're not mature enough to handle it yet. Now, Jesus taught us persistence in prayer. So if my 10-year-old son comes, asks for a car, I say no. And then he comes the next day. Because Jesus taught his disciples in Luke 18 verse 1 that men ought always to pray and not to give up. He taught us persistent in prayer. You remember Luke 11, the man who had a visitor and who went to his friend's house in the night and said, I need bread. His friend said, no, I'm in bed already. I'm not coming out. And the guy stayed there, knocked on the door again. Who's there? He said, I'm still here. I said, I'm not coming out. It's too late. I'm in bed already. Go. The guy knocked again. Jesus said the guy has to come out. That the guy came out, gave him the bread. Gave him the bread not because he was his friend, but because of his persistence. Okay. I have somebody in my house. You want me to be embarrassed? Not take care of my guest? I'm not sleeping. You're not sleeping. So the guy gave him the bread. Just go away. Not because he was of his friend. Jesus was teaching us the power of persistence. Somebody said persistence is omnipotent. Now, so let's imagine that my son is operating the principle of persistence. 10-year-old. Give me a car. I say no today. He comes back tomorrow. Give me a car. I say no. The third day, I say no. The fourth day, I say no. The question I want to ask, will persistence help him? No. What he is asking for will not answer to prayer. It will not answer to persistence. It will answer to growing up. Maturity. So that's what I'm saying. That sometimes what we ask from God, we don't have the capacity to manage it. Lord, in Jesus' name, give me more money. He says, how much? Lord, give me a million. Say, What will you do with it? And it doesn't need you to answer the question because Jesus answered it in Luke 16. He that is faithful in that which is little is faithful. He didn't say will be faithful. He said is. What you do with small money is exactly what you will do with big money. There's this interesting prayer that people pray in my culture back in Nigeria. You know, poor people. They pray that God should just test them with money. I said, Lord, just test me. You know, just run a test on me. Just give me 1 million and see what I will do with it. And I said to them, God knows what you will do with 1 million already. It's exactly what you're doing with 10,000. If you can't pay tithe out of 10,000, you won't pay tithe out of 1 million. Somebody said, well, there'll be more money. Mm-mm. It's the same proportion. It's 10%. If you can't take 1 out of 10, you won't take 100, a whole 100 out of 1 million. That's it. So it's about capacity. So I need to emphasize that. What God wants to transfer to us is big. He put us here to manage this planet on his behalf. Get ready to manage big corporations. I wish you could see what I'm seeing. God would not have sent me here today to pronounce a blessing if there wasn't something ahead of you. The next 1 year. The kind of opportunities you have never had before. They're coming ahead. Some people here are going to handle money they never handled before. Some people here are going to supervise people you never supervised before. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, develop the capacity to manage big things. Amen. You will need to read books you've not read before. You will need to research on Google things you never researched before. Yeah. How to do a budget. 1 million. You need to sit down and plan what you're going to do with 1 billion. I'm serious. Because some people here are going to handle resources they never handled before. If you believe that, say a good amen. All right? Let me tie it up. So you want to see the blessing activated? For some of us, it's there already. It's the capacity to manage it that is not there yet. As you develop the capacity, God will release the opportunities and the resources. Secondly, fulfill the conditions in Psalm 1. Fulfill the conditions in Psalm 1. From verse 1, blessed is the man. And the first thing it deals with are his associations. That's how critical it is. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise will be wise. Not maybe, will be. You are dealing with a law there. And the companion of fools will be destroyed. Not maybe. When you get home, take a sheet of paper. Write the names of the 7 people that are closest to you. If you are married, your spouse first. If you have children, write children. Give them only one space. That's what I mean. So even if you have 20 of them, just write children. Then fill the remaining 5 spaces. When you're done with the list, take that list and look at it. You're looking at your future. You are dealing with a powerful law. It would not be in the Bible if it wasn't that way. The quality of your life cannot be better than the quality of the lives of the people on that list. It's a law, sir. You change one name on that list, it can change your status. Change the trajectory of your life. Very important. And I need to emphasize it because making changes in this area can be very sensitive for us, especially those of us that come from Africa, because our social connection is very strong. And so we think, oh, what will people say? What will people say? What will people say? Excuse me. If you don't do well, they will say something. If you do well, they will say something. Why don't you do well? Because whichever way, they will say something. I want to give them what to talk about. And it's got to be positive. It's the fulfillment of my destiny. Did I hear you say amen? Yes. Blessed is the man. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He watches his association. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Make the Bible your dream book. Because the quality of your life will not be better than the quality of your thoughts. Your life will move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. One of the greatest obstacles to the manifestation of the blessing in your life is your mindset. Because the way God designed you, your mind is like a camera, you know. You press the shutter, it snaps. An image is established, either on the memory card or the film, like we used to have in those days. You print it out. The image on the film or memory card is what comes out on the card. Am I right? That's it. That's life. The picture that it finds in your heart is what it will print out for you in reality. The only way for you to change your reality is to change the picture in there and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can have the power of blessing on your life, and it will be hanging there in the spiritual world, having no opportunity to show up here because your thoughts, your dreams don't match with your blessing. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may what? Ask or what? Think. Ask or think. To some people, the only definition of prayer is talking. But in that verse, thinking is placed on the same platform with talking. This is very important. The reason why some Christians don't get answers to their prayers is because what they are thinking is not in agreement with what they are asking. You ask, the power of God comes. But because of the law God established, the only thing the power of God can do is to print out the picture that is in there. So you pray, God comes, he wants to print out, he sees what is there, he holds it. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Did you see Abraham in Genesis 15? He was already blessed. God already told him he was going to give him a son and build a nation through that son. So Genesis 15, Abraham is asking God, what's going to happen? I don't have a son yet. Is it the son of Eliezer, my servant, that is going to inherit this blessing? What did God say to him? Come out of your house. Lift up your eyes and count the stars. As many as those stars are, so will your descendants be. God knew that he had to displace the picture of barrenness from Abraham's mind before that blessing could show up. Abraham was looking for one. It was looking difficult. So his mind was filled with difficulty, scarcity. So God said, come out. Come out from that tent. Sometimes where you are, you can't see far from there. That's why sometimes your association really matters. For you to be able to see farther. That's why you need to read. Okay? So God says, come out. Because you're finding it difficult to get one child, you think it's difficult. I am El Shaddai. Let's discuss millions. Don't talk to me about one. Let's discuss millions. So there's someone here, I know it's been, you've not seen $10,000 together in one place before. You've not seen $100,000 together before. But in the next 1 year, you'll be doing millions. God knew if he did not change the picture in Abraham's mind, he couldn't change his circumstances. The man was blessed already. Use the Bible as your dream book. There is no human problem that was not solved in that book. Sick people were healed. Barren women gave birth to children. Even the dead came back to life. Paupers became princes. Use the Bible as your dream book. You want the blessing to manifest? Let your thinking align with what you are asking. Listen, the person you are praying to does not have physical ears. He has the capacity to hear your thoughts as loud as he hears your words. Let the words of my mouth, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Dream big. Dream big. Dream of things that would need God's help. If your plans, your goals are things that you can achieve by yourself, why should God step in? You don't need it. Dream, pray and receive dreams from God that will scare you. That will make blood to run in your veins. Amen? Dream big. And they're big things. Dream big. God wants to do big. Listen, the Holy Spirit said to me that he is taking over the systems. That he wants to put his children in charge of the systems. So you have to get ready. We need to have the capacity to run this city. We've got to have the capacity to run this nation. What do you think? We've got to have the capacity to run the largest corporations. We shouldn't let our prayers go wasted. We shouldn't let the power of God go wasted. He wants to do things, but he's looking for people that have the capacity. And it starts from our thinking. Think big. Amen. Good.
Let me tie it up. I'm almost done. You want to see the blessing activated? Operate the law of exchange. Operate the law of exchange. I said yesterday that money is only a means of exchange of value. That they used to do trade by barter. You give value, value will come to you. You know what the patriarchs in the Bible did? They gave material things and received the blessing in exchange. Genesis 14, Abraham meets Melchizedek and gives him a tithe of all. Melchizedek blessed him. Mm-hmm. So what you give is material. What you get is invisible. But that invisible thing increases your capacity, changes your status, and gives you the capacity to attract more visible things on a higher grade. That's why giving is powerful. So he says in Malachi 3:10, you bring your tithes and your offerings. He said, I will open the windows of heaven and give you a blessing. You won't have enough room to take what it will produce for you. Did I hear you say amen? Yeah. I love giving. So you give to God. You give to your parents. It's in the Bible. There's a blessing for it. If you are an employer, paying wages is big deal. Because James chapter 5 verse 4 says that if you don't pay the people that work for you, the cries of those that reaped your fields has entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. The Lord of Sabaoth is the Lord of hosts. That's the fighting dimension of God. So I never owe salaries. If I can't pay, I let you go. Very important. In the Bible, when people give to prophets, what they got in return was amazing. 1 Samuel 9. Saul was looking for his father's lost donkeys, and then they remembered there was a prophet in the house. Then he said, what shall we take to the man of God that he may show us the way? They went there, gave whatever it was they wanted to give. What Saul got in return was open heavens. He became a king. Oil was poured on his head, powerful prophecy. And Samuel told him, when you leave here today, to show the sign that your status has changed, the power of blessing has come on you. He said, once you leave here, you will meet people that will tell you the donkeys you've been looking for have been found. There's someone here today. This marks the end of struggling. Marks the end of fruitless efforts. In the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, Psalm 1 verse 3 says, you know, blessed is the man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates in his law day and night. Verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Let me emphasize whatever he does. Do something. You won't know whether you are blessed or not till you dare. You won't know whether God will intervene on your behalf or not till you dare. I tell people, your action must be commensurate to your revelation. If someone gave you a prophecy, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt catch a whale. That's the prophecy, that you will catch a whale. You know what a whale is? The big thing in the ocean. So that's a prophecy you received. Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt catch a whale. I tell people, don't take a fishing hook and go to the stream behind your house. There are no whales there. All you are likely to catch is a big frog. Go where the whales are. You say, God gave you a vision, God gave you a blessing, that you are a millionaire. Go where millionaires go. Do what they do. Try what they try. God will show up on your behalf. Did I hear you say amen? I'm seeing something in this church in the next 1 year. Some people here are going to dare big things. Like David, they're going to see the giant and run towards the giant. Some people around you are going to think you're crazy.
But God's going to show up big on your behalf. Pastor Andrew, there's someone listening to me here. That person's testimony will bring 100 people to this church. You will be the proof that God exists. Your results will be beyond your capacity. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So I stand by the Spirit of God because I know I am sent. And this is why I was sent. First, I address the spiritual atmosphere over Winnipeg, over Manitoba, and over Canada on your behalf. I stand as God's agent, not by my own authority, but by the authority of Jesus Christ. I displace the territorial spirit over this nation. I speak to you, prince of the devil over Canada, you are cast down. On the behalf of my brothers and my sisters that are present here today, Jesus said, the disciples of Jesus said, Master, the devils obeyed us in your name. He said, this is why it worked for you. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and I give you authority, tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. I declare here today that I see the prince of the devil over this nation fall. Receive a new level of spiritual authority. Tread over serpents, over scorpions. Walk over demonic forces. Receive authority to displace territorial spirits. Take over new territories. In the mighty name of Jesus. From here, you cannot be stopped. No being, whether human or spirit, will be able to stop you anymore. I declare also, no man-made system will be able to stop you. No man-made policy will be able to stop you. There's someone here. As the power of blessing is coming on you here, a decision that is supposed to be already concluded will be revisited. And it will be changed in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare for each one here today a change of status. Your status has changed. Everything around you will begin to show the proof that your status has changed. You will attract resources more easily. You will attract people, helpers of destiny, relationships that God ordained for the fulfillment of your destiny. They will come very easily now. You will attract financial resources more easily. See, I've been there before. I've been there before. And then I received blessings. And God's blessing on my life was activated. And then I began to get money. And then I realized it was not because I was working harder. It was just the blessing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The first time I put on a suit and checked in the pocket and felt an envelope, brought it out and saw, it was an envelope and there was $1,000 in there. I said, I had $1,000 somewhere and didn't even know I was missing some money. Me? I used to search through the pockets of all my pants and my shirts before looking for money that was not missing. Just hoping that I had forgotten money somewhere. I used to look through all my books, all my textbooks, all my notebooks, just hoping that I could find some small note. And now I had $1,000 somewhere. I didn't even know I had money somewhere. That day I said, Lord, things have changed. Things have changed. It was not because of more struggle. Just the blessing and activation. In the name of Jesus Christ, your status has changed. Lord, I ask that you take every measure of grace on my life, put it on everyone that is present here and the ones watching on the internet. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If there's a sickness on somebody's body here, that sickness dies. That disease dies. The sickness falls off in the name of Jesus. Enjoy health by the supernatural power of God. Thank you, Lord. Favor. People will see you and love you. Some of them will not be able to explain why. Thank you, Lord. Can you come? Can we pray with our pastors? Because this thing flows from the head. When you pray for your pastor, you pray for yourself. And the flow of oil must never stop. In this church, the flow of oil will never stop. Lord God of heaven, you showed me this conference is an apostolic assignment. That this church that you have raised yourself and that you have blessed would shift to a new level. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask for transference. On a multiplied dimension, I ask for transference on a multiplied dimension in the mighty name of Jesus. The one that helps me helps you. The one that fights my battles on my behalf fights your battles on your behalf. This grace is apostolic in dimension. You will raise sons, raise daughters that will be giant killers, that will take over and have influence on all the platforms that shape culture. They will be powerful in government, powerful in the economy, powerful in science and technology, powerful in the media, powerful in sports, powerful in education. They'll be powerful in the entertainment industry in the mighty name of Jesus. Whoever you bless is blessed. Whoever wants to curse you, God will keep them busy. They won't have time for sure. In the name of Jesus, there is grace for holiness on this house. Sin shall not have dominion over us. For everyone that is a part of this house, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So I declare in Jesus' name, Satan may have worked weaknesses into everyone while we were in his camp. Now that we are on God's side, when he shows up to tempt us, the power of God will show forth. I declare victory over sin, over Satan, over poverty, over sicknesses and diseases. And now, I receive an anointing on our pastors and on everyone to destroy the works of the devil in people's lives. Wherever you show up, demonic activity will be paralyzed. God will turn obstacles into miracles, turn people's tests into amazing testimonies. And now I pronounce an anointing to prosper by divine favor. an anointing to prosper without struggling. Anointing to receive creative ideas from God. Just one instruction from God. You act on it, there'll be big breakthroughs. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I bless every church represented here. And all the pastors that came from Friday. And I declare every blessing pronounced here today is fulfilled for them also. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Please let's have a seat. I'm done. Just two things. Thank you. Thank you. Just two things. And I'll take my seat. Your financial status has changed. Not will change, but has changed. The days of struggling are over. Someone says, I didn't have a father pronounce a blessing on me. God says today there is healing and there is restoration. The pains of the past are gone and gone forever in the name of Jesus Christ. I asked permission from Pastor Andrew. I know we gave our offering before. And he did say he was going to take another offering. I said, please, can you skip it? Because I saw something. I saw myself praying over us as we give. If you can give, if you can join me in giving $500, fine. Please do. God never asks people to give what they don't have. So whatever it is God's giving you capacity to give, give it. I want you to give based on your new status. Amen? As an expression of faith, it's an exchange. I don't want to get from God without giving. Amen? Let's activate it by giving. Can we do it quickly? I just want to pray. You can write your check. You can do the POS. I'll pray first, and then we can do it. Amen? So that we save time. Thank you, Lord. Whatever the figure is, God is laying on your heart. Whatever the figure is. Can we, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have not spoken my words, I spoke your words under the inspiration of your spirit. And Lord, you are not out to take from anyone. You said the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. I have come that they may have. Lord, we're just acting on your word. We're not here for entertainment. This is destiny. So, Lord, we act on your word and we give. And I'm asking, Heavenly Father, that as we're doing it here, let things be changing for us out there. Let someone get a phone call, a text message, a letter in the mail. Do something in the next 7 days that will show a sign that the days of struggling, the days of lack, the days of limitation are over forever. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. One more prayer. Perhaps there's one person here who would say, Pastor, my relationship with God is actually not okay, and I need to be honest about it. My relationship with God is not okay. Every human being was born a sinner, born with a sin nature. Every human being. And it's that sin that disqualifies us from a relationship with God and gives Satan the legal ground to enforce a curse on us. So I just want to pray with that honest person who says, Pastor Sam, pray with me that God should forgive me my sins, because Jesus died on the cross and paid for all of our sins. All God expects us to do is to be humble enough to admit we're sinners and to ask for his forgiveness. Can we bow our heads for prayer just a minute? And if you're that honest person, can you put your hand on your heart? I can't be lying in God's presence. I'm a sinner. I want God to forgive me my sins. Or maybe you've even been a Christian before, but you're so backslidden into sin. God forbid you die today, appear before God. You're not sure you will make it into heaven. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you also put your hand on your heart? This is the prayer I said that changed my life, and I will never regret that I did it. If your hand is on your heart for this prayer, can you please just stand by your chair and let's pray together. We'll say a short prayer, 1 minute or less. Can you stand by your chair? God bless you. You didn't come here by accident. God brought you here today, and God brought me all the way to do this. Your standing is shifting things. Shifting things, not just for you, but for your family, for your city, for your nation, for the generations that will come after you. If you know you should be a part of this prayer, because sometimes people doubt. There's no point doubting. I teach people how to succeed all over the world. I'll tell you one characteristic about people that succeed. They make up their minds. They make up their minds. They make up their minds quickly. People that don't make up their minds usually don't make progress. I ask you to make up your mind. If you're standing, can you say this prayer after me? Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we know heaven's attention is over this place right now. This is a miracle of transformation. We know you have forgiven our brothers and sisters that are standing because they prayed and you loved them. We know also that you have removed the nature of sin from them and put your own nature in them. Now that's the greatest miracle of all. We ask you to teach them to know you personally. Teach them to love you. And teach them to serve you and to serve their generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do have your seats. Wow. Can we give Jesus a big hand clap and thank him for these wonderful people? Awesome. Awesome. If you stood for the prayer, our officials give you a form. We want you to fill it right away. We have very important information that will help you. Please fill the form right away with accurate information and make sure you hand it over back to one of them before you leave. We'll send you information after today that's going to bless you big time and help you to keep this blessing. I want to say that it's been a great honor, great pleasure being here this weekend. I'm going to hear amazing testimonies from this church. I love you. Pastor Nika and I love you guys. I'll see you again before long. The next time I see you, you'll have exciting testimonies to share. God bless you.